Well, good morning. As we get started, I'll open us with a word of prayer, and then I'll have you open your Bibles to James chapter 5. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, for us that we will have ears to hear today, not just for Pastor Steve, but also even now as we look at a verse in the book of James. I pray that you will touch each one of our hearts, that you will cause us to think carefully about what we do and what we say. We love you, Lord, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we all know, I am getting ready to start a new work with our church extension in Tarpon Springs. And we've been having some fellowship/planning meetings the last few months, and we had one last night. And I was able to tell them that, and I'm mindful of what James says, if the Lord wills, but it looks like our first Sunday at the new work is going to be on June 29th. So we get access, our lease starts on May 1, so we'll go in and we'll paint, and we've got to put in our chairs and our equipment and our electronics and get things ready, but we'll be doing that in the month of May. And in June, I'm going to be one of the speakers at our summer youth camp. So it's my daughter's senior year, and Spencer had asked me to speak, so I'm going to be gone two Sundays on the 8th and the 15th for summer camp, and it didn't make much sense to start at the beginning of June and then go away for 2 weeks and say, come back soon, we'll start again. So we're going to have our church's annual business meeting, again, all this is Lord willing, probably on June 22nd. We're required by our Constitution to have it before the fiscal year starts, which is on July 1. So the basic plan now is that we will get in and start doing the work for the new location on May 1. We will be ready to go in June, and we'll probably start on the last Sunday of June. Now, with that, this may very well be the last time that I teach in Faith Builders. I started when I came to Lakeside, and I've been thinking about this more because Christine, my youngest daughter, turns 18 today. Today's her birthday. It's an exciting thing. But she was born, and I'd already been offered a job at Lakeside, but we stayed in California for her to be born, for Debbie to be able to stay with her obstetrician. She was born at Glendale Adventist Hospital, and then we moved here in June. And so for many of you, she was a baby. If you were here back then, she was a little baby, and it's hard to believe she's 18. But with that, when I came here, one of the responsibilities I had was I was teaching Faith Builders. And I started from week one. My job is not teaching. My job is the administration of the church. But my heart's always to preach and teach. That's all that I want to do. And so this may be the last time that I speak in Faith Builders. Rig is gone. And he asked me before this, and I thought, you know, I probably need to not commit anymore because I'm going to be working really hard to get things open. But in God's providence, we're here. And so today, I'm going to be teaching. He told me that he finished through verse 11 of chapter 5. So today, we're going to look at a single verse. We're going to look at James chapter 5, verse 12. And I'm going to read the verse, and then we're just going to talk about it. It's one of those rare times when I don't have an outline. I'm just going to go through the text because I think the ultimate point is something that we can grasp and understand. So, James said this in James chapter 5, verse 12. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. It's interesting because this statement, we read it and it means something. And I can tell you, before I studied this, it caused me a lot of confusion. How many of you have ever been called for jury duty? Okay. Have any of you ever testified in a legal proceeding where you had to raise your right hand? And yeah, some of you have. Probably, if you went to jury duty or if you testified, you said something like this for jury duty. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will answer truthfully all questions asked of you as prospective jurors, or something along those lines? Or if you were called as a witness, do you solemnly swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? And then depending on where you are, so help me God, it's in brackets on some things. How many of you have ever been employees of the government, either a state government or a federal government? I certainly have. I know in California and probably other places had to do it. I had to sign a loyalty oath. Florida has a loyalty oath. It's in their statutes. I looked it up. I put in your name, a citizen of the state of Florida and of the United States of America, and being employed by or an officer of and a recipient of public funds as such employee or officer, do hereby solemnly swear or affirm that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the state of Florida. I had to sign something like that in California when I was a public employee there. Now, in general, why do we have people take oaths? If you're somebody's going to be called as a witness, why do we have them take an oath? You can
lie and break it.
What's that?
So they can lie and break it.
Well, perhaps that's one view. But why do we ever have somebody take an oath? Because we think people lie. We think people lie. Yes, Robert?
Yeah, I think part of it would be is because we want to impress the importance of what we're going to be saying and how we're going to be held responsible for it.
Yeah, so if, yes, sir.
Bind them.
Bind them. Bind them. You got to tell the truth. And why do we have to do that with human beings? Because we lie. We do. We do this so often that it's commonplace. We have to come up with something to bind people, to impress upon them the severity of what they're saying, to force them to try and tell the truth. If they don't tell the truth and they're under oath, well, we can charge them with perjury because they violated their oath. Dishonesty is simply a reality of the human condition. Jesus said about Satan, he's a murderer, but he's also a liar and the father of lies. And it started with Adam and Eve, and it kept going. It kept going. When Adam was confronted by God about his sin, he said, "Yes, Lord, I knew that I was violating your law. Please forgive me. I'm sorry." No, he lied. It was her fault. It's never stopped. Throughout the Bible, throughout human history, lying is a part of things, which is why in almost every culture, there's some form of an oath, because they know you gotta bind somebody. You gotta have something with teeth in it. Now, I say all of that because of the words that we've read in James chapter 5. Obviously, amongst Christians, we shouldn't have to be forced to be honest. We shouldn't have to be aware that we're accountable for the words that come out of our mouth. It's interesting because the entirety of the book of James, he's constantly telling us how to be doers of the word. How do we live out our faith? How do we not be hypocrites? How do we prove the genuineness of our faith by what we're doing? And I don't have the references here. I just decided for time's sake not to go back. But over and over, he's talking about the words that come out of our mouth. What we say, how we go about communicating. Honesty is simply not negotiable. Proverbs 12:22, at least in our house, this was something we used a lot to teach our kids. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are his delight. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Think about that for just a moment. That's pretty serious. And yet if we're not careful, because of the world in which we live and because of the way that we talk and because of our society and because of our own sinful nature, we can lose sight of the fact that we have to be honest in everything. If we say something, we have to follow through. Now, this is one of those verses, it'd be easy to get up on soapboxes, and there are aspects where inevitably it might sound like that, but I want to keep coming back to the text, because ultimately what matters is, what is God saying to us? Again, we've already alluded to it. We're trying to give somebody an oath so we can at least hold them accountable, because we got to do it. How many of you as a kid learned that if you have your fingers crossed, oh, okay. Now I don't have to do it. I mean, our lives, starting at little kids, have loopholes for honesty. I don't know what things are here in Florida, and we have Florida attorney in our midst, but in California, there was certain lying that lawyers did that wasn't considered lying by lawyers. We all knew we were lying to each other, but it was good lying. It was acceptable lying. In fact, when I got saved, I struggled because I thought, I don't think there is any acceptable lying before the Lord, but yet being a lawyer, that's what we did. My ultimate point, and what James' ultimate point is, and I think we'll see it as we get into this, is there's no loopholes for honesty. There are no white lies with God. There are no fingers crossed amongst believers. It's not okay for us to say, well, I wasn't under oath. It's not perjury. So again, I'm going to read the text, and we're just going to walk through it together. There's going to be a lot of cross-references of other verses, because even there's a lot of people that over the years have misunderstood it. And I'm going to come back to what I quoted from those oaths before, because misunderstanding of what James is saying, which we'll find is exactly what Jesus said elsewhere. James is just parroting the teaching of Jesus. It's not new ground. It's caused some confusion, but I think as we walk through it, we'll see that the issue is ultimately honesty. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but your yes is to be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Now, when James says, but above all, he's just elevating this teaching. He wants us to understand this is paramount. He's not saying everything else he said is irrelevant. He's just trying to get our attention to say, pay attention to this. Certainly, this is connected with everything else that James has taught. But it is a new freestanding thought as he's finishing up this letter. And he's saying, this is critical. Above all, pay attention to me. Listen to this. And again, I've already said this, and I hope I'll prove it to you. He's really talking about honesty, because even in his day, there were loopholes. There were ways to have your fingers crossed. Above all, my brethren, he's clearly talking to believers. The church needs to hear this. This isn't just how we try and reform society. We can't reform society. Only God can transform hearts. But he loves these brothers and sisters, and he's saying, look, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. Now, obviously, when he says swear, he's not talking about some type of foul language. He's talking about the types of things we're talking about. He's talking about how you verify that what you're saying is true. And he's addressing a practice, and this will help with the context. He's addressing a practice that was very prevalent in Judaism at the time. Remember, he's writing to Jewish Christians. And it ties back in again to this discussion of oaths, because way back then they had their own ways to try and figure out, are you telling me the truth or not? Can I trust what you're telling me as we're talking? And it really, you see, as Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. Human hearts haven't changed. Now, the Jewish people knew that lying was wrong. It's clear. They knew God required honesty. Leviticus 19:12, for example, you shall not swear falsely by my name so as to profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. In other words, you can't hide behind me. You can't lie. That's wrong. But the Jewish religious leaders wanted to provide guidance of this. So you can read, there's a lot of interpretive literature of Jewish doctrine over thousands of years, but they came up with, there's no other word for it, but loopholes. They came up with ways to make different types of oaths. Clearly, the Bible says, don't swear falsely by my name, but they had to come up with ways to allow themselves to keep lying, because that's the human heart. It's not a reflection of Judaism, it's a reflection of humanity. The plain commands of God were too stifling for the way they wanted to do business, for the way society wanted to interact. First time I studied this, I pulled some information off the internet. It's still valid information. The link is not working right now. But it's from a Jewish source. And I'm going to paraphrase a few things. And I'm not an expert on non-Old Testament Jewish teaching, but there's a lot of extra-biblical literature where they're trying to interpret things. And I'm just going to read you so you get a feel for the type of thing James was talking about. And this, what I'm reading you, occurred hundreds of years after James. They obviously didn't listen to him. They didn't listen to the Christian word. So a Mishnah, and forgive my pronunciations because it might not be right, a Mishnah, Shivos 35a, states that in the event one swore falsely, using the expression, by heaven and earth, he is exempt from a penalty because he did not use the Lord's name. So think about that. I swore by heaven and earth, but I'm not guilty because I didn't use the Lord's name. Then there's explanation. Now, someone interpreted this teaching to mean that if you swear by heaven and earth, it is not actually an oath. So you're swearing, but it's not technically an oath. They don't know that, but you know that. So if you lie, it's not a sin because you didn't violate an oath. Someone else teaches that if one utters a vow while holding a Torah scroll, the vow is binding because the person uttering the oath is effectively saying by it, meaning by what is written in the Torah scroll, including the holy names of God inscribed therein, except they don't say God in the Jewish writing. It's G space D. So I'm holding a scroll. Okay, now I will be guilty, even if I don't use God's name because God's name's in the scroll. Another paragraph. But another teacher distinguishes between a Torah scroll and the book of the prophets. The teacher says swearing on a Torah scroll is a binding oath. But if one swears on one of the books of the prophets, it's not considered a valid oath. So now you got to figure out what kind of scroll has he got in his hand. Is it a Torah? Is it a book of the prophets? Someone else, no, it is a binding oath. If it is a Torah scroll or the book of the prophets, because they also are sacred texts because the holy names of God are inscribed therein. But another writer claims that when Messiah comes, on the five books of Moses and the scroll of Esther, only the five books of Moses and the scroll of Esther make for binding oaths. But another says no scripture is binding. Another says if one swears on the book of the prophets, the oath is not binding since it will not endure. But Esther is an exception and will endure forever. But you can't swear on the book of Esther for an oath because the name of God does not appear in it. I mean, that's crazy. Someone says this, someone says this, someone says this. And yet what's happening the whole time, and the reason this is it, because people are saying, I swear. I mean, again, this our culture, I swear on a stack of Bibles. That means nothing. All of this elaborate oath they've taken, interpretation is because people want to lie, but they want you to think they're telling you the truth. I was trying to think of the one, something about, I hope to die, I stick a needle in my eye. I mean, just the silly things that we do. But here is the point. How do you know? People are lying, they're holding up, I got a scroll, I got this, I got that. And James is saying, knock it off. And when I said before, James was parroting Jesus, you can look at Matthew chapter 23. I'm going to read a longer section, verses 16 to 22. And it's a condemnation of this very thing. And this isn't the only place where Jesus says this type of thing. But in Matthew chapter 23:16, continuing on, it says this. Jesus says, "Woe to you blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that's nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated." Again, that same gamesmanship. Verse 17, "You fools and blind men," which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? Verse 18, "And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men," which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? "Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears by both the altar and by everything on it, and whoever swears by the temple swears by both the temple and him who dwells in it. Whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits on it." Jesus' whole point was, stop it. You can't make these joking of distinctions of this counts and this doesn't count. James again says this, "Do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath," is really condemning that whole system of loopholes. And is it true? Is it not true? He's saying, what are you? You're Christians. You can't do that. Now the question becomes, because he said, do not swear by heaven or by earth, or with any other oath. And that has caused a lot of Christians to have a lot of hiccups over the years. Does that mean I can never take an oath? Again, when I read through those things, what you saw is I swear or affirm. The word affirm is there because of Christians over the years struggling with that. You can go back historically into the 1600s and 1700s. There were certain religious groups that their testimony was not allowed in court because they would not swear. Because they took this so seriously that they would not swear in court because they thought, I'm violating what God said. So over the centuries in other countries and in America, now you can swear, unless you're a Christian, you can't do that, or you're an atheist and you don't want to swear, or affirm. I remember being confused when I was first saved again, and I circled affirm on one because it's like, I read this. James is the first book I ever heard taught. Am I supposed to not do that? Now, I want to be clear. I don't believe that James is teaching that. I think he's just trying to convey exactly what Jesus taught, that we have to be people of our words as Christians, and it doesn't matter. We can't validate what we're saying by all those other things. Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 and 37 is really where James' words specifically come from. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything beyond these is evil. In other words, Jesus was addressing the very thing that James is addressing. James is just copying the teaching of his king. And again, Jesus' point is that as believers, we can't hide behind subterfuge. Again, people would swear by heaven or earth. I'm swearing by heaven or earth. Jesus is saying, don't do that. Some people apparently would swear by Jerusalem. Don't do that. His whole point was, if you're doing that and you think that justifies your lying, you're wrong. Don't do it at all. You can't have a loophole for the truth. But again, I want to be clear. I have no problem. And if I was called for jury duty in Florida, I haven't been. I would raise my right hand if they asked me, and I would absolutely swear to abide by whatever duties they told me to do. I would take that oath, and I don't think I would be sinning. And the reason I say that, and the reason I say that Jesus isn't teaching you can't really take any oath, and James is not teaching you can't take any oath, they're dealing with that subterfuge system set up of loopholes to try and justify lying. The reason I say that is because the Bible makes it clear God has taken oaths. If taking an oath in and of itself was sinful, we'd have a problem because God himself has taken oaths. For example, in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, it says, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we would have taken refuge. We who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hope of the hope set before us. Luke 1:73 references the oath which God swore to Abraham. Acts 2:29 and 30, I won't read it, but it references the fact that God has sworn with an oath. So in and of itself, we know right away, whatever else James is teaching, and he's copying Jesus' teaching, he's not saying that an oath in and of itself is sinful because God takes oaths. Likewise, if you were to go there, and I have references in my notes, Abraham swore oaths. It wasn't a sin. Rahab and the Israelite spies swore an oath. David swore oaths. In fact, God even commanded the Israelites in Exodus chapter 22, verses 10 and 11, that in certain circumstances they should take an oath between each other to validate what's going on. So in the totality of Scripture, the issue is not taking an oath. God has taken oaths. Believers, godly Old Testament believers who weren't sinning have taken oaths. Rather, what's being condemned is oaths that are employed to justify dishonesty. Again, you think about James' context. He's writing to Jewish believers who are dispersed, who are living in hostile circumstances, and some of them are not living obediently. They're probably not believers. Some of them are trying to live obediently, and yet they're doing sinful things. And in the course of this, he adds in, and by the way, that whole system of justified lying that has been a part of your life, where you raise your right hand, you swear by heaven and earth, stop it. You've got to be characterized by honesty above all else. There is no loophole with God. And again, that just simply means, as believers, we can't play into our society's dishonesty. Well, they know I'm not telling the truth. How old's your kid that's going to the buffet? No, they're 6. Because if they're 9, you have to pay more than you want to pay. We can't do that as believers. We can't lie. I remember one time, and it was just a situation where a contractor gave me the option because of the price that was quoted was $1,500. And the $1,500 made it where I'd have to get a permit. He said, well, I could rewrite it for $1,400, and then you just give me $100 on the side, and then you don't have to pay for a permit. I'm like, I can't do that. How could I do that as a believer? I'm lying. And I told him, I said, if I was taken to court and I was put under oath, I'm going to tell him it costs $1,500. I'm not going to lie about it. We've got to be very careful as believers that we don't play by society's loopholes. I don't want to start a controversy, and so I may ask Wayne to erase this part from the tape, but we would never tell our kids there was such a thing as Santa Claus. Because we didn't want to lie. I'm not saying that everybody else is wicked and heathen. They can do what they want. And we always told our kids, some parents play a game with their kids. Don't spoil it for them. We didn't want to have the kids that made all the other kids cry. But we took it seriously. It's like, I don't want to start out lying. We have to be careful. We can't get into the flow of American culture that justifies so much lying because our fingers are crossed, or because I wasn't put under oath, or because everybody else in my profession does that. All dishonesty is sinful. James goes on to say, but your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that you may not fall under judgment. In other words, as believers, he's not saying that in a court of law you can't do what's expected. What he's saying is you can't, in your personal interactions of life, use subterfuge, use loopholes to get away from honoring your word. If you say yes, it needs to be yes. If you say no, it needs to be no. And again, he's talking about the heart. It's saying yes when you know the answer's no. It's saying no when you know the answer's yes. That's the issue. We have to be honest. We have to be trustworthy. We have to be people of our word. If you're dishonest in any way, it is sin. Period. There's no loopholes. We need to live simple lives of integrity. Now, when James says we'll fall under judgment, for believers, he's simply talking about the discipline of the Lord. If you live in unrepentant sin, God will put his hand upon you, not for the purpose of punishing you. Jesus died to pay the penalty for all your sins. God will do it because he wants to chastise you, to correct you as a loving father. Hebrews 12, verses 3 to 11. I won't read it, but it talks about the discipline of God and what it means to be under God's discipline. Likewise, James probably alluding to the fact that we get rewards in heaven as believers, and we'll lose out on some of those rewards. We're not getting rewards for dishonesty. The point is this. In our society, if you're not under oath, well, they can't charge you with perjury because I didn't swear. We're always under oath to God. He's never not looking. He's never not watching. So let me just encourage you. Think through your life. If there are areas where you're being dishonest, ask for God's forgiveness. Stop. Don't do it again. If you have a habitual habit of justifying your dishonesty by loopholes, just close up those loopholes and don't do it again. As believers, let's let our yes be yes and our no, no. Please join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I think of the number of times I've not obeyed this teaching. Lord, forgive me. I know what's required, and yet there have been times where I have ignored the clear teaching of your word. Lord, I'm sure I'm not the only one. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't feel judged and condemned, but Lord, I pray that we would feel convicted, that we would repent if this is the characteristic of our lives, and that we would be those that when we make a promise, we keep it. When we say yes, it's yes. And if we say no, it's no. Lord, help us reflect your character and integrity in all of this. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.